Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you have been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives presented to the public as an hour-long dramatic television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you have all been cleared to know the truth. And what I think we're going to do on this episode, Josh, is I think we really need to start rooting out all the secrets. I am tired of all these secrets, and I need to get to the truth.
All right, well, okay. I'm having sex with Agent Ward.
Oh, my God. Oh, all right. So, well, we got to get on with the show, so let's just finish this up here, okay?
That was enough secrets for you for one night.
Yeah, that was more than enough. So, now that I've said all this, I think the episode's name was Secrets, but it's not Secrets this week. What's the name of this week's episode?
It's Seeds.
Seeds. Okay.
Yes. Interesting. We're working our way towards the springtime, you know, so.
Oh, good. Well, I need that here. We've been getting that Arctic blast coming down through my neck.
Oh, the polar vortex, that kind of
polar
thing?
Polar vortex, that's it, yes. I think there was a polar vortex on the show this week.
I think I know where that came from, yeah. I think we know the culprits for that. Well, let me tell you a little bit about this episode, and then we can talk about that. But,
okay, sounds good.
We're in season one, and this is episode 12, Seeds. It aired on January 14th, 2014. 1-14-14. So... that's getting easier to write, I think. This was written by Monica Owusu-Breen and Jed Whedon. So I got those this week. That wasn't too
bad.
Directed by Kenneth Fink. Kind of have a variety of staff working on this season, don't they? I mean, there's been a few names tossed around.
Yeah, they are pulling in a lot of different directors and writers, which I think... As we've talked about in previous versions or episodes of the podcast, you know, it leads to some of the disjointed nature of the show. I think they've got the showrunners
at this point. Yeah,
yeah, and it's nice to have Jed back. He hasn't written anything for a few episodes now, so coming back to kind of tie stuff together, I would almost bet, if I was a betting man, what parts of the show he wrote and what parts. Monica wrote, but
really, I hadn't even thought about that. You're gonna have to, like, as we go through and talk about this, maybe you could enlighten me on that. I'd be interested.
Okay, cool.
All right. Well, let me give you just a little brief of the episode here to introduce it. So, you know how if a pool is cold, it's best to just kind of just jump in and get it over with, right?
Right.
Or are you more of a toe first kind of guy?
No, I might mess around with my feet a little bit, but then I'll just jump in.
All right, there you go. See, it's quicker. Well, unless, of course, you know that pool's frozen solid.
Oh, yeah, that'd be bad.
Right, yeah. So when this starts happening at, you know, the S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy, Coulson's team is sent in to clean out the filter. So, but what they discover is that Quinn, who you may recognize from earlier in the season, quite a bit earlier in the season,
yeah.
He has floated to the surface and clogged that filter. He said that he will fund a project by some students at the academy that can, you know, freeze things up real good. Mm-hmm. So, Coulson and May know that, you know, Ward and the rest of the team can handle that. So they take a quick jaunt to Mexico to look into Sky's history. Or would that maybe be more science than history? Not sure if we know that yet, but. So that pretty much covered it, and then, of course, chaos ensued in between there.
Right. Well, yeah, we haven't seen Ian Quinn since, I think it was episode 3, The Asset, where Sky broke into his Malta facility and tried to, seduce him, kind of blackmail S.H.I.E.L.D., or not blackmail, but, like, turn the tables on S.H.I.E.L.D., but we weren't really sure about that, so... Yeah, he's definitely back with a vengeance here.
Yeah.
very exciting.
Interesting idea for a kind of a villain type guy. I do like him. I kind of liked him back then and wanted to see him go more. At least I think I did. If you go back and listen to that episode and I said I didn't, then I don't admit that I said that. But
okay, cool.
I kind of like him, yeah.
Well, you'll have to wait a little bit more to continue liking him because S.H.I.E.L.D., even though they've been back for two episodes since their winter break, they will be off for two more weeks. They will be back on February 4th, so you will be hearing us at the end of that week. Which is kind of weird for them to take off, you know, for the winter break, do two episodes, and then take off again. But this
you know,
may go
is,
back to...
Is there something going on that's going to be on NBC? Is there... I know the Olympics is coming up, but
yeah,
that's not this yet.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, and I mean, I'm not really paying that much of attention to it. So, you know, I don't know if, but this is on ABC,
well,
so
and you're right.
Would it affect that?
I should have looked into it a little bit more, but the reason I ask is because it could be back in 2 weeks and then be off again for a while because of the Olympics. So, I'm a little surprised that they took these 2 weeks off too, if that's going to happen. So,
well, NBC has the Olympics though, right?
Oh, it's on ABC, isn't it?
Because it's ABC.
You're right. Okay.
Right, so.
Well, forget I said anything.
Well, no, I mean, still, you know, they may not want to go up against them. But, yeah, that's true.
That's
I mean,
true.
I don't
that's
know.
True.
But I was thinking, so for me, not looking at it as, like, a scheduling issue, looking at it from a production issue, because as we've talked about before, they don't seem to be too far ahead in, like, what, you know, we're finding out spoiler-wise or just, you know, like, title-wise or when they're airing stuff. I don't think they are that far ahead. I don't think they're as far ahead as some other shows are. So maybe that's the problem. They just needed a couple extra weeks of production to get into the last half of the season here. Because they are, this is the first episode in the back half of the season there.
Yeah.
22
well,
episodes for the season. So
being a new series, I think typically they try to not take too many weeks off at first to kind of let it get its foothold, I would think.
Right.
So maybe that's why, too. So they're kind of catching up from that.
Yeah, that's possible. I don't know. I mean, we may never know, but they hopefully will. Well, let's see if they come back at the beginning of February and they've got about 10 episodes left. February, March, put it to middle of April. They're going to have to take off a couple more weeks here and there because they probably, I'm sure, will finish up in end of May or May. You know, which is sweeps. So we'll probably have another 3 to 4 weeks off in the last 10 episodes here. So we'll see.
All right. Well. If they continue to be like this, those weeks off might be a little bit harder to handle, and I might be looking forward to the episodes coming up. So
that is true, and you will have to wait. But when you come back on February 4th, Stan Lee will be guest starring in the next episode, and supposedly not just a cameo, but like an actual appearance. Like you know, he'll actually be on the show for a little bit, maybe have some lines of dialogue. So
see, I'm already looking forward to it.
That should be pretty cool.
The only thing I can think of to say is, you know, Excelsior.
Excelsior, exactly. Like that packing material that you kind of put in with boxes and stuff. That Excelsior, that's what that is. No. Anyway, also, another guest star that we have to look forward to, that this was just announced earlier this afternoon as we record this, Jamie Alexander, who played Sif, Lady Sif, in the Thor films, will be doing a cameo on S.H.I.E.L.D. in an upcoming episode as Sif. So she actually comes to Midgard to, you know, to, I don't know, it's what, like Midgard CSI or something like that? CSI Midgard? She comes down to take care of some business or something like that. And, of course, S.H.I.E.L.D. is right there because our agents are everywhere, always where the most important stuff happens.
You think she does her best work in, like, a really dark room with the Who playing in the background or something?
Yes, yes, I do. When I was explaining who this person was to my friend, I said, you know, it's kind of like Thor's girlfriend. He's like, no. Thor's girlfriend is Natalie Portman. And I'm like, Thor would snap her like a twig. Jamie Alexander, like, that's a suitable, like, girlfriend for Thor or me. You know, whatever. If, I'm just saying if things don't work out, you know.
Yeah, if Thor's occupied.
At home.
Know, he's more into the twigs.
Which they may not now when my wife hears this. So.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, and I hope – I mean, you know, you say she it's kind of a cameo, and that's what they say when people appear, you know. But I hope that the cameo is an extended cameo and maybe not just a few seconds long because I like the idea of getting these characters in there. That's great.
Right. If again, if I had to bet, I would say it's a beginning of the episode, she appears to, and something happens. Then our SHIELD team investigates and may or may not meet her at that point. The episode goes on until the very end when they solve something or are there for her to fix and kill whatever. Maybe they're going after that Midgard, or not that Midgard, the Jotunheim beast from Thor the Dark World, finally.
That would be good, too.
Yeah, I would love to see that come back into play. And then they meet her at the end and say, hey, how you doing? How's Thor? You know, everybody's cool. Something like that. So we'll see. We'll see how that shakes out. So that's probably sometime in February. We don't have an exact date for that.
Well, good. The good things to look forward to. Good that news is popping up that people notice and that we get to talk about. So, hey, you know what? I'm kind of feeling like we're gaining a little momentum here.
We are. And I like that this episode was called Seeds because I think from little seeds, good things grow, or big things grow. And I know we've talked about certain episodes, you know, kind of being a gateway piece. And you know what? They are starting to get a foothold here. I feel like while there are elements of this particular episode that were uneven, I feel like the meaty parts that we got had me exclaiming, you know, they should have been doing this, you know, 5 weeks ago. I think there was a lot of great stuff going on in this episode, and we expanded the play space for our characters quite a bit, and it now, at least I feel that there's more room for us to explore. They've opened up some new questions. It actually gave us the ability to start asking questions, say, wow, well, what is this about? And you know, what happened with this character and, you know, all sorts of other interesting relationship questions and things like that. Sounds like you were equally intrigued by the episode.
Yeah, I am. And, I mean, I don't know. You think back on all of the character development that they did, and I think they just used an episode per character, which was probably way too long for that. But it's starting to pay off because I'm really starting to feel these characters gel and work together. And now we can kind of get into more interesting stories about the character now that we know how they'll handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I enjoyed it very much. So there was still a few little things here and there that kind of made me squirm or, you know, wince a little bit. But for the most part, overall, I enjoyed it very much. And I actually kind of sat and watched this one. And there's been a few like this, but I sat and watched this one not ever thinking, is it almost over? Or I mean, it seems like it's going on kind of long. It felt just about right.
It held your attention.
Held my attention. That's right.
So let's just start off with this. What was one of the parts that made you wince? Like, what do you feel was one of the downside pieces?
You know, it's some of the, and you may be better at describing this with appropriate language, you know, like movie making language, but, just some of the way things are blocked and the way the characters interact, I think, this is last week, but this is kind of what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. when Poe and the girl in the flower dress are talking on the cell phone, you know. Oh. With the that kind of thing, the way characters are blocked. I didn't care for much the way when Fitz and Simmons were talking to the class in the auditorium.
Right.
Not the dialogue so much. The dialogue kind of...
It felt weird.
It was...
Awkward.
It felt very staged. I mean, that seems weird. I mean, the whole thing is staged, but I mean, it just didn't.
That's true. Yeah,
it didn't feel
you mean
like
this
it was
not happening. It's not a documentary.
No. Yeah. The silly little boiler room was with the pool table with the SHIELD logo on it and the disco.
Now, did you notice that they were using the older SHIELD logo on that?
You know, I did notice that.
I thought that was kind of cool. The other parts of the campus have the newer SHIELD logo, the squared off one, the one that we use in our show logo, and the one that's from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But the logo that was on the pool table is the original SHIELD logo that was the kind of the curved eagle wings that you know, a little more organic looking, looks like an actual eagle, not a designed version of a squared off eagle or something like that. Yeah. So, but that's cool. You know, the school's been around a while. I think that's a nice nod to the SHIELD mythos and the longevity of the organization and all that.
Yeah. So I just little things like that just kind of weren't quite right. I didn't. And this is okay. So this kind of goes. This is one thing I liked, but I'm still not quite satisfied. Okay. And so I'm talking
and
about
that's okay.
Yeah, it is okay.
I think it's great to, you know, and sometimes we feel like they don't give us enough, and other times you feel like they give you stuff and that leaves you wanting more, and I think that's an okay kind of dissatisfaction. So anyway, go ahead.
So, well, I'm talking about the special effects in the show. I think there's been a lack of interesting special effects. Okay. But in this one, I felt like they were doing a little bit better. We saw this is kind of jumping toward the end, but we saw the little ice on the glass of the finger, the ice forming around the kid and in the pool. You know, those kind of special effects are neat. And instead of, you know, we were getting some special effects, but they were all very real world feel special effects. Like I think it was in the last episode, they had a, you know, a 20-second shot of the plane doing a U-turn in midair.
Breaking like a car and turning around and
it was very Bugs Bunny, but it was but it was fine. I mean, it looked real. It looked like a plane. It's something that in a movie it wouldn't be that big a deal because there would be tons of other special effects around it, and you wouldn't even give it a second thought. But in this, it was like one of the few special effects in that episode because it probably took a while and cut a little bit out of the budget to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, I want you to use your special effects budget to show me some comic book stuff. You know, some
flying cars,
superpowers. Even do some, you know, fight choreography along with some, you know, stunts, kind of mix them. Mm-hmm. But so in this one, we were getting a little bit more of that. But as I said, I wasn't quite satisfied at the end. I was not really convinced that this was a very big storm. I mean, there was a few shots. You saw the clouds. I mean, that looked like a big storm. Well, they were in the eye of the storm in the truck, you know, so it wouldn't have been very bad there. But you didn't see, you know, you saw a few chunks of ice, maybe like five chunks of ice sitting around the truck. Agent Ward opens the door, and you see the wind blowing and things going past.
Right.
But there's no snow. There's no – I mean, it was just – really some wind. Great, fine, I got the idea, not a problem, but if you're going to throw those comic book scenarios in there, let's see some cool stuff, you know?
Right. No, I agree. I did feel that the storm sequence was a little on the cheap side, from a budgeting standpoint. Like you said, you know, there's some hail falling. And then they toss some chunks of ice on the ground from, like, for a crane shot looking down. Maybe – I think they might have toppled a tree or something like that, or, you know, just had a tree branch laying by. But, yeah, I don't know how big it was. And also, the kids are working on the back of their truck. It's, like, pitch black outside. It looks to be the middle of the night. And then the next thing we know, it's day when the storm hits. It's like – we just jump some time. It's like there's some. It feels to me like there was a shot or two, or a small sequence that was edited out, you know, because they were running too long or something.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I can see that.
Also, let me try to give some voice to some of the things you were talking about with the lecture hall. What bothered me is that the two actors, normally Fitz and Simmons, I love them. I thought their stuff was the worst part of this episode, which is really saying something. I think Agent Ward was doing a much better job in this episode than, you know, in terms of just being charming and likable and funny than Fitz and Simmons were. And going back to the beginning where I was saying, you know, there are these two writers, I feel that Jed Whedon was not writing the Fitz and Simmons characters. I feel like their voice is like Marissa. When Marissa or Jed are writing the episode, I can really hear their voice coming out, especially in those characters. And I was not hearing it this episode. But
I agree. They almost seem too serious.
Well, yeah. I mean, and it's like they're coming back to their alma mater, and it's like, you know, I don't know. It felt like they were just nervous. And I'm not digging the way Ian Castecker puts his hands on his hips and that kind of inverse with the thumbs going forward.
Yeah.
It, you know, because he's wearing that Mr. Rogers sweater and stuff. I mean,
sort of they Ed Grimley stance, like old Martin Short on Saturday Night Live, you know?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah, totally. But the way they blocked that shot, it was like from one angle, you could see like the people, or you could see Fitz and Simmons standing at the podium, and it was a medium shot from like their waist up. But then they'd show the audience, and they'd come back, and we were like super close up right on their face, and it's like it felt like. And it may be because this is really how the set was. It felt like they were standing like 3 feet from the front row, and they just really couldn't shoot any wider of a shot. You know, when I think of a lecture hall, I think of, you know, there's 10, 20 feet up in front, you know, space for the person to stand. And they had the windows behind them, so maybe they were having to deal with like physical set, you know, problems or something like that in terms of lighting or whatever. But It just felt really tight. And then also, again, I'm going to go back and I'm going to ding them on their fight sequence. I thought there was some really cool choreography going on in the fight sequence in Mexico City when May and the other agent that was on the run have a fight. Like, because she throws him against the wall and he does some kind of spin on the wall.
Yeah.
But the problem is they were cutting around and the camera angles were so random. Like all of a sudden, you know, we're on the ground, she throws him, and then we're looking down from up on the third floor through the grating of the fire escape. And it's like, why am I jumping around all these locations? It's like, put me down on the ground, pick two or three angles and shoot the damn fight. Don't be all creative, because what they were doing by throwing me around all these locations was, they were taking me out of the whole situation, you know, showing me that there was a camera there. I mean,
and maybe that's what I was feeling. Maybe that's kind of why it just kind of felt off to me.
Yeah,
because the fight was great. I really liked the, you know, when she was. She's great. I mean, I don't know how. I'm sure she doesn't do most of that stuff, but they integrate that pretty well, you know, with her and her stunt double, and they're usually choreographed pretty well too. So. Yeah, that sounds about probably why I wasn't quite feeling it with the way it all was shown on screen, you know, framed, I guess.
Right. And it's just, you know, in a good film, a film that is, or a TV show even, in any kind of cinematic entertainment that is well edited, You don't notice the edits. I mean, you just feel like you are in that location and you're looking at one person, you're looking at someone else. You don't even notice sometimes when there's a cut between different shots because of the way it's done. It's done in such a way as to make it invisible. And when it starts getting pointed out, even someone who is not, you know, familiar enough with the language, they feel something. It affects you because it, you know, you get disoriented, or it, you know, gets you emotionally. You just are like agitated because why is the camera moving around? But you may not, you know, understand why that is. So, But for me, other than those moments, and there was one other moment in Donnie's room when Fitz comes over and is talking to Donnie and commenting on all of his cool things that he's making, and Donnie says like, "Oh, you just want me for my, you know, cool gadgets that I make," or something like that. Fitz kind of looks at him and they cut away and they never like resolve that. They never even come back to that. It's like, that's obviously not what Fitz is meaning. It's just, he's, you know, he's awkward enough about his I mean, that's what I feel, I guess, that he's awkward enough about his communication. He doesn't mean it in that way, but it's totally what's happening in this episode. S.H.I.E.L.D. as a group, that may be the way that they feel, because all these students are making all these weapons and, you know, interesting devices that they may end up using at some point. And, you know, do the students get the proper credit? You know, we may or may not know that. But Donnie was being used in that way by Ian Quinn. He just wants him for whatever he can make. And I feel that was, again, either a sequence that might have had an extra part of the scene that got cut, or it's just a gap that, I mean, they really lost the momentum for that, because I think that would have been a great connection to make at the end of Fitz, like on the plane when they're putting Donnie in the car. If Fitz made some kind of comment about that, how, you know, you were mistaken, you know, I was trying to be your friend, and, you know, I think you've got some really cool ideas, and obviously Quinn was the one that was using you. But they didn't do anything else with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of curious. I mean, not to mention where that lowering table came from in his dorm room, though. Those are pretty cool dorm rooms.
Oh, yeah. What's a fake ceiling?
Of course, yeah, yeah.
Top floor. I don't know.
I wish my dorm room was that big. I didn't notice it too much, but it did feel a little awkward. That interaction between the two of them. So I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how he did. Simmons. Oh my gosh, I always get these mixed up. Was it Simmons in there or Fitz?
Simmons is the girl.
Oh, Simmons is a girl. Dang it, I always get that wrong. but I did kind of like afterwards when he realized that he had totally screwed up, and they were all sort of starting to come to the realization of what was going on here. So after that, it kind of got a little bit better with him. But
now, so that's some of the stuff that we kind of didn't like about the episode, which, as far as I'm concerned, I think everything else in the episode was really cool.
Yeah, me too.
The realization and return of Ian Quinn, unexpected, and I thought that was really fun. The search for Skye and her backstory, and us just getting all of that, and them continuing to give it to us. I mean, this is what I've been talking about for several weeks here on the podcast. They teased us with stuff at the beginning of the episode, left us with a little bit of cliffhanger. Are we going to go find this guy? Oh, we do find this guy. Oh, he tells us stuff. Oh, he continues to tell us stuff. And then we go and tell Skye. I mean, it's like they gave us so much with that character arc. It felt fulfilling.
Yeah. And not only did they tell us stuff with the character arc about Skye, but then they kind of left us wanting more.
Right.
You know? And that's great. That's exactly what you need to do. Just keep stringing us along like that.
Oh, she's the 084? Wait, so she's an object of unknown origin? Now, do they mean that in the sense of, like, the device they found back in episode 2? I think they do.
Because
they said the baby had powers that he never saw.
Right. Well, yeah. Yeah, the guy never saw them, but they wiped out an entire village to get her. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or to destroy her?
Right, or to capture her, or to destroy her, plus killed whatever it is, 6 or 7 S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in the process.
Yeah, so in that, you know, that's the kind of stuff, string us along. So I also liked unexpected revelation to her, where Coulson tells her. I did not expect that, and right. I liked that they did that. They kind of threw that in there as a surprise and as a character development moment for Coulson.
Well, it totally fits. I mean, that was the whole thing with him. He's like, he's sick of secrets. He's talking to May about that in Mexico City, and she comes clean about her affair, which totally caught me off guard. I mean, that was hilarious, because he's like, you know, we got to root these secrets out. He's not even thinking that she's going to spill something, and then she's like, you know, I'm sleeping with Ward. He's like, oh, there he is. I got to go. but then, you know, you get to the point where it's like, all right, now we know this. We've got to keep this a secret. And he's like, no, screw it. Like, she's become a friend to him. Like, it's more than just a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, what else was it? Oh, so after Coulson tells the as he's telling the story to May, which I'm gonna ding him a little bit on this as well. I don't know if you're familiar with the old adage, show don't tell.
Yes,
which in terms of film means that you don't have a character just talk about something. It's better to show them doing something. It's more engaging and satisfying for the audience. We had the show sequence where he's telling Skye and they're cutting back and forth, but then they had the music drown out the dialogue to come back later and have Coulson tell May, hey, do you know what I told her? And she said, no, tell me. I'm like, oh my God, that is the lamest dialogue. And then he, you know, says, then he gives his interpretation of it, which was cool because we did get to get his interpretation of it, not exactly what he told Sky. So, like, we still don't know all the details. And I can see that as, using something for plot purposes in the future. But when he was explaining the details and that, you know, he thought this would be the end of her story, but no, it's really the beginning of her story because the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. family is her family and stuff like this. And my son's like, he's like, that's her superpower. She can take crappy things and turn them good. I'm like, no, I don't think so. But who knows? Maybe she's the clairvoyant and she doesn't know it. Maybe she's got a little body that when she lifts up her shirt, there's a little baby there on her belly, and it's like
she's Quado.
Quaid, or Quinn.
Quinn. I'm thinking for her, it might be something technological. You know, like she has some sort of ability with
technology power.
Or something. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea, but I like the whole idea. That's great. That's what I want. And I like the guy that as they were interrogating him, I guess, or interviewing him, or however you'd look at it.
Yeah.
But he's like, I don't want to know anything. I don't know anything about her.
Wait a second.
Because
tell me this. I was kind of like taken aback. He's like, please don't tell me anything about her. But just tell me, is she safe? It's like, dude, you just told me not to tell you anything about her.
Okay, nothing else. Just tell me if she's safe. That's it. Don't tell me anything. And how old is she now?
Yeah.
What's her name? No.
She has a nice rack. I saw someone's theory online about this. Again, people are trying to make a lot of different calls back to the Marvel Universe to tie in characters that we see on the show.
Uh-huh.
Like Donnie Gill, who was the boy, the kind of the nerdy boy, the one that got frozen solid here in this episode.
Oh, right, right.
And we'll talk about him in just a second. But some people are saying that Sky is probably supposed to represent a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that was introduced, it was like 2011 or 2010. I forgot to write down her name, but basically she goes by the nickname of Quake, and she has some kind of shaking, earthquake power sort of thing.
Shaking.
And
she twerks and everything moves.
That's the Miley Cyrus effect. But she's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that didn't know she had a power, was kind of, I think she was orphaned as well. She discovered she had this power at a later point in life, but had already been working for S.H.I.E.L.D. and used it to her advantage and stuff like this. So there's kind of a precedent for this type of character. I kind of hope not. I mean, for all the stuff I've been saying, put more Marvel stuff in it. I'd rather have them, if this character's name Sky, the comic book character is not, I'd rather them just make Sky her own character. I want them to make, like they made Coulson his own character. He was never a character in the comic books before he showed up in Iron Man. So let's just keep going with that. And you can do other cool stuff like putting Donnie Gill in here. And Donnie Gill is a character in the comic books. He was the second Blizzard, who was a villain, super villain that has, you guessed it, freezing powers. And that's totally along the lines of like what I would like to see. I'd like to see more kind of stuff like that. If they have a character, named Magneto that shows up, though it wouldn't be Magneto, but I'm just saying, suppose, for instance, he needs to have magnetic powers and, be a badass.
Yes. Well, no, they have, my S.H.I.E.L.D. virginity is showing here, but what's the gravity guy name? Graviton. Okay, so they have him, in lockdown somewhere too. So they're starting to build up a little bit of a super base of characters that
they need to put two more super villains, have two more origin stories, and lock up two more potential super villains. And then season finale is going to be a breakout from the maximum security prison of these four guys whether they team up or not, you know, and then it's like, okay, great. So now we got some stuff to do at the beginning of next season.
So now do you think, it's just kind of, you know, fun speculation, but do you think they know he has little freezing powers now? Because yeah, you think they're going to put him in that maximum lockup or just regular, you know,
shield detention? Well, they said they were taking him to the sandbox for not to be an intern, but for study.
Right.
Which is their science and tech place. So they're not really locking him up because the fridge, I think, is where, or the vault. Well, there's definitely both those names, but I think it was the fridge where they put Graviton.
How many household rooms and yeah. places do you think they have? Do they have a place called the pantry and, you know, the man cave, right. you know, the throne room. It's where Captain Poopoo is being held.
I had to take him to the outhouse.
I can see them having an outhouse, actually.
And the woodshed. Not then. Those are two distinct places, you know. I mean,
oh, yes.
don't want to get those confused. So,
well, yeah, I was just wondering if they – I mean, maybe they will realize it. Or I think that, you know, again, that has some potential story possibilities there. See, they don't realize he has those powers.
What?
And then he breaks out and then, you know, and chaos ensues. So, another great thing in that. So, and there's my – top of the list, great thing. Yay, superpowers.
Yeah.
Love it. Awesome.
I am, I mean, I'd love to see more, and especially if you have people like Sif showing up on the show. I mean, there's, you know, there's some super strength stuff there. I mean, I think that's what really got me excited about the episode, The Well, a few back, with the Asgardian staff and everything like that. I mean, you had these, you know, people with superpowers. Ostensibly, they were, you know, given by the staff in a limited basis, but you know, you can have these people beating the crap out of each other and you know, really show some cool stuff on screen, do some choreography and some wire work and all that kind of stuff. Just really exciting. So I like seeing Lola Mack. That was good. That
and not just parked in the bus.
Exactly. When they said I'm gonna gas up the car, I'm like, I hope she means Lola. And then I see him sitting in the red car in Mexico City, which, by the way, I saw a comment online. Somebody pointed this out. It's like, how out of place in the middle of downtown Mexico City would an Asian woman and a white dude sitting in a red convertible be? Just saying. It doesn't take a SHIELD agent to realize that he's being followed.
Oh, and I'm sure when it flew in the alley that it wouldn't.
Right.
Well, I'm feeling more and more like SHIELD is not really all that secretive of an agency.
Well, so I think they're obviously known. Because in the last episode, Skye, you know, said she was Melinda May from SHIELD, and you know, the guy wasn't like, SHIELD, what the heck's that?
Well,
you know, I mean,
and speaking of that, she knew all of the history of SHIELD when they walked into the academy. You know, she saw the wall. Oh gosh, I wrote it down, and now I don't see it here, but you know, the wall that honored everybody.
Right.
I
wanted to get a close up so we could see some more names. I was really hoping they'd kind of spoil a little
bit. They didn't.
Bit of
you
that.
Couldn't really see anything.
Yeah.
But you know, so she knew all that, and she knew. So I mean, it's obviously out there, and
well, she's
which
been
is fine.
Studying though, right? Because she's been reading all the course materials that Ward gave her. Right. Because we've
true.
Seen a couple episodes
That's
where
true.
She's sitting in her cube or her bunk area. And she's, like, reading through files or whatever.
Well, and again, I don't have a problem with them being known. It just seems like they have maybe – they were kind of playing it up as maybe it was more of a secretive place than it really is. And as long as it's been around and as many different academies they have and as you know, many students as they have,
sure.
I can't really see this thing being, you know, an Area 51 kind of thing. Wait, is it 51? Did I mess that up again, too?
No, that's right.
Oh, okay.
I think, like, the, you know, the fridge and the sandbox and those places are secretive.
Yes, I could see that.
Academies may not be. Now, maybe the one where Mike Peterson was training, where he was pushing around the dump truck or whatever it was before the break, because he was, you know, using his superpowers. So, but I don't know. You know, I mean, like, everyone knows where Quantico, Virginia is, and, you know, that there's an FBI training academy there. If you didn't, there is. So, the more you know. But, you know, but we don't know what else, you know, the FBI has. We may not know where all their offices are and all of their secure facilities where they waterboard people and stuff like that. You know, so, well, I'm just kidding. That's not the FBI. It's the CIA. But, so... Oh, no.
I don't ever want to know where that is either, by the way.
I'm going to have something locked down on my computer here shortly, I believe. So so let's just change the subject here. I have a question for you, and it's a two-parter. So one is, do you think they will ever make a S.H.I.E.L.D. drinking game where you have to consume, like, an entire bottle when Agent May smiles? And when do you think we're going to see her smile?
Well, I think we just created that game, so there you go. And you know, she smiles off camera when she's with Ward. I would guess. I don't know. That's I'm kind of okay with just her little sneers every now and then. That's just who she is. But
yeah, see, now what got me thinking about this was I see pictures that get tweeted by. Ming-Na and Clark Gregg. And so there's like a picture, I think, that Clark Gregg retweeted of her, and she's standing under a sign in some, I think it was in London when they were shooting something, and she's pointing up at the sign and she's smiling. And Ming-Na is a beautiful actress and beautiful woman, and she's got a lovely, lovely smile. And I just remember seeing her on ER. I mean, she's a very carefree, kind of happy sort of person, but the role that they've got her in, I mean, and I'm not faulting anybody for this. It's just she's very guarded and, you know, she's not a happy-go-lucky character.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, I see these off-camera, like you say.
That picture. Did you see the picture of her with Stan Lee? She was smiling.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
One.
That's right. Yep. There's also the picture of her. Yeah. A couple of the actors there are posing with Stan Lee. You know, and she's got this huge grin ear to ear. I mean, she's just so pleased to be doing all this stuff. And I just would love to see her smile on the show. But I think because of the way her character is, I think it'll have to be a really special moment for her to smile. And I think that will be a really important character moment for her on the show when we do actually see her smile on camera. Because, you know, the troubled life that she's led, and, you know, she doesn't seem to really be happy ever about anything. She admits that she's having sex with Agent Ward. She doesn't say she's sleeping with him or anything like that. She's very matter of fact. They're having sex.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he goes, well, and if something goes wrong, she goes, I'll end it. I mean, there's no love lost there. It's not anything other than, like, some kind of physical release, I feel, for her. So, which is kind of sad, you know. I mean, she's pretty messed up if that's the case. But I don't know, you know.
Well, let's more. We need more happiness for Agent May. I'm with you. I'll give her that. You know, she needs some successes that she can feel with the team, that, like, she really made a difference.
Successes. Sorry.
Things that went right.
Well, I mean, she does seem more at ease and, I guess, happy in an Agent May kind of happy sort of way when she is flying her plane.
Well, it's kind of almost like isolation. Like, the time when she's blocking herself off from everybody. But,
well, when she flew the plane into the eye of the storm, you know, and it's raining, and she takes off her sunglasses, and she's really concentrating and working the plane down, and then she takes off, and when they emerge and the sun comes out and she puts her sunglasses back on, you could just kind of see her whole body relax, you know, and it's sort of like, well, this is a job well done. I mean, that's where she gets her amusement, I guess. I mean,
yeah,
it's strange, but I mean, that's what the kind of character they've built here for the show. So,
all right, well, you know, maybe she can come on with us, and we'll kind of talk her into it, make her a little happy, you know, and she can bring a little levity into her character.
That'd be great. I would love to talk to her on the show.
All right.
Can you score that for us?
I'll see what I can do.
All right. I'm sure she just ask her on Twitter. I'm sure that's the best way to go about doing that.
Oh, she's listening. But yeah, I'll give her a little poke on Twitter too.
Oh, well, of course she's listening. Everybody listens to this show.
Of course. Wars.
I'm sure everybody from the cast listens. Hey, everybody.
I would think so. How you guys doing? Doing a great job.
So what else did you like? Anything else you saw that that you want to point out about this episode here?
Let's see. The superpowers. I love that Lolo is flying again. We're getting those special effects. I think it's just, like I said before, the continuation of the stories, what's the opposite of a trail of breadcrumbs where you're not leaving things behind you. You're not leaving little snippets behind you, but you're throwing them in front of you, you know?
I don't think there's anything like that.
But I did have a question. Now, this just popped up and it didn't bother me. I'm just curious about it. But, Sky was looking at what was that wall called? I can't find my note on what that wall was called.
I don't remember what they said. I mean, it's like the
Wall of Honor or something.
Yeah, it's like the Vietnam Memorial or something like that. Just a wall of engraved names.
Of all the Agent Shields that have fallen.
Yeah, have given their lives to the cause, I guess.
She said you could almost figure out the history of S.H.I.E.L.D. looking at this, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so I have a question about S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, I get that S.H.I.E.L.D. has been around for a long, long time, and maybe that has been established in the movies. I mean, certainly in the comics, I know it's been around for a long time.
Sure.
But the name I'm curious about, is the name S.H.I.E.L.D.? Has it always been there? Because I was under the impression that that came up in an Iron Man movie.
In an Iron Man film, and this is what we use in the opening of our podcast here, I think it was Iron Man 1, Coulson appears like 3 times throughout the movie, and he's trying to get an audience with Tony Stark, and he mentions to Pepper, he's like, just tell him I'm from the Strategic Homeland Espionage, whatever, in Law Division, and she's like, that's quite a mouthful, and he's like, yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah, that's the line that I'm thinking of.
Okay. So, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s been around since just after World War II. I think, I want to say, you know, like around 1943, 44, something like that. It did not exist in Captain America, the first Avenger. Peggy Carter, Agent Carter, was working with... It wasn't the OSS. It was the SSR, and unfortunately, I don't have what that stands for. But it was SSR is the precursor to S.H.I.E.L.D., and that was the organization that Captain America was working with in Captain America: The First Avenger. And when you if you have seen from the Iron Man 3 DVD and Blu-ray, there is a Agent Carter short. And it takes place right after, I think it takes place like a year after the Captain America movie. She is working in the office for, as like a field agent, but the director of her office won't let her do anything other than like file papers and get sandwiches and clean up stuff. And he sends all the other agents out and she sneaks out and takes care of a mission by herself. And she gets a call from Howard Stark saying, I want you to come to Washington and help me be one of the first directors or help me start up S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that. So that was the point when S.H.I.E.L.D. went and became, you know, a larger organization. Howard Stark kind of drove that along with Agent Carter, who also, by the way, will probably be getting her own pilot for a new show next season, which I think would be awesome. 1940s, like, version of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, what a great idea.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can accept that, and I get that it's been around. I think that's just one line where they hadn't come up with the name. It was probably just kind of a not important line that we can ignore for canon purposes from Iron Man, you know. So,
right. I think they didn't want you to know that they were talking about S.H.I.E.L.D., and so if they said this big, long name of some organization, most people wouldn't catch it, you know.
Right. So, oh, that's fine. And that was just one thing that I thought of when she was looking at all those names and talking about the history of it. So, and again, being someone who is not as knowledgeable about the history of the comics, and I'm learning and I'm having a great time doing it, mm-hmm. And I'm really liking those old comics. I just like to learn as much as I can to understand it. So, not a problem for me and not a criticism at all. Just wondering.
Yeah, that's cool. Speaking of the old comics, there is the solicitations for April comics just came out, and there is a Jim Steranko artist's edition of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming out. Not by Marvel, though. It comes out by a company called IDW Comics. And what the artist editions are, I don't know if you've ever seen these.
Isn't that the company that does, like, the My Little Pony and...
I think they might have the My Little Pony. They have the Star Trek license. John Byrne, who's an artist and writer that I follow, he's currently working with them. They're also doing the G.I. Joe comics. I think they might have Battlestar Galactica or... No, Godzilla and Transformers, I think they also do.
Okay.
But they do these things called artist editions. They're about 95 or 100 bucks. They are the size of comic boards, so they're around 11 by 17, these books. And what they are is it looks black and white inside, but what they've actually done is they've gotten the original boards for a number of comics, usually three or four different comics, and they scan them in color. So you can see the original artist lines, but you also see any blue lines, you know, where they did erasing or, you know, rough sketches. You see the layout grid on the board and everything like that. And so you get to see what the artist actually did as raw pencil before it got inked. And they've done a Jack Kirby one. They've done Walter Simonson. John Romita has done some of these. And so this Jim Steranko one is coming out in April, which I'm like, that might almost be worth getting because some of his stuff is so cool.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
Yeah, and I mean, his style really was kind of a psychedelic 60s one. I'll have to see what issues that they're putting in there. But they do a full issue, but just as the pencils. So it's pretty neat. I haven't gotten any of these yet.
As someone who is an artist, you know, that really appeals to me. I like seeing that kind of stuff.
It's the behind-the-scenes stuff that, you know, I think it's worthwhile. I find myself as I'm getting older, like, you know, I was attracted as a younger comic reader to kind of the flash and sizzle. And now I start looking at the stuff that when I was young, everybody was going, oh, you know, this guy's amazing. You know, older people and I'm like, that's basic stuff. That is lame. And now I, you know, I look at it and I'm like, man, look at the way he puts these lines together. I mean, it's purposeful. It's, like, not wasted, just sketchy sketch stuff like you see, like, Image Comics was doing back in the day and stuff like that. So I can really appreciate it. You know, and it's not necessarily fine art, but it's, you know, it's pop culture art.
So. I don't know. I don't know. That line between fine art I always kind of defend. I think it is a style of fine art.
Well, would you put it on a T-shirt? Oh, well, yeah. Never mind. You probably already have one of those, so as do I. So, well, hey, let me just talk about a couple other references here. We've gotten a little bit away from the episode. So, I already talked a little bit about Donnie Gill, who does become Blizzard in the comic books, and it looks like he will be a similar kind of character. Did you recognize the actor that played him at all?
He looked very familiar. Where have I seen him before?
So he was Jack Shepard's son in Lost.
Okay.
He was David. And
all right.
It's like, wow, I hadn't even thought about that, but it's cool. One of my coworkers is rewatching Lost, and he also watches Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I said, hey, keep an eye out for this guy when you're watching Lost. So that was pretty cool. And then we also got some name dropping at the S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy for, as I mentioned before, SSR, Hydra, AIM, and then Bucky Barnes, which was really cool. I thought that was a nice nod, considering we've got Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier, coming out here in about 3 months, which I'm very excited for.
Yeah, that looks really great.
And I think that was about it. There was, there wasn't any other specific call outs to, you know, other characters or things like that.
But for S.H.I.E.L.D. to mention Hydra and SSR, some of those things, that's pretty good for S.H.I.E.L.D. I would like to see them reference more, but what we've gotten lately, that's not too bad.
Right, right. Well, and it was all in context, too. So,
right.
The worst kind of reference is one that's out of context just for saying the name of some, you know, name dropping something. So the fact that they were able to, you know, not create new things but reference stuff that already existed, kudos to them. And I am this. I was complaining to my wife. I said, why can't either the Shield episodes be terribly crappy every week or really awesome every week? I just want them to make up their mind, because I'm in that place now. We're halfway through the season, and I'm like, well, some of the episodes are really good, and I see the potential. And then other ones have been bad enough that I see the potential for where it could go either way. And they just haven't. It's like Schrodinger's cat. They haven't quite flipped one way or the other. And we won't know, I think, until we get to the end of the season what's going to happen. I'm not sure when they make the renewal notes. I'm pretty sure they will be picked up again. I feel that will probably be the way it's going to go. Their ratings are down definitely from their premiere by about half, but it's got some peaks in it. It's, you know, it's, they're constantly around 6.5 million or something like that, but they had jumped up to 9 for, I think, the one that episode that tied into Thor.
Oh yeah. Well, I think a lot of it's going to come down to, ratings to budget ratio. So, and by the time they make that decision, I guess probably May sweep, somewhere around there, is probably what the numbers they look at. Yeah.
And, yeah, it might be. I don't know if they make the decision then or if they have to make it like in April or something like that. Cause there's, maybe it's February sweeps also. I'm guessing that just because, I can't remember if there is a February sweeps, but because, Stan Lee's going to be on, you know, something. And then May sweeps would be great, because that'd be a great time for them to have something that interfaces with Captain America 2. So who knows?
Well, and that's a, this show has so much potential to tie into those things.
Yeah,
the movies, and so they should take advantage of that. I hope they will.
Right. Well, as I said before, the episode title was called Seeds, and hopefully they are planting something solid that will sow great oats in the future.
That's what the next episode is called, Oats.
Oats. Oats. No, actually, the next episode is called TRACKS. I'm assuming it's going to be tracks, but it does have all the periods in it, just like the word Shield does. And you know what that means?
What's that mean?
It means they really wanted the next episode to spell out the word tracks. So.
All right.
Anyway, that's all that we've got for this week's episode of Agents of Shield Case Files.
And if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure you leave us some feedback on iTunes. And you can also contact us. Let us know what you're thinking. Email us at shield@randomchatter.com, or look for us on Twitter @AgentsPodcast, and also our Facebook page, facebook.com/AgentsPodcast. It's always nice to see people posting things there.
Yep, I've been updating some other stuff on there. And as we find out more about this Agent Carter series, too, I'll be posting some more information about that there as well, and any other guest stars that are showing up. So keep an eye out on that. Also, be sure to check out the other podcast that Josh and I do, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, which follows the TV show Arrow. And it's also available on randomchatter.com. And I'll also let everyone know that Random Chatter, the flagship show for randomchatter.com, should be coming back here this January. So look for a new episode from Eric Liu and myself as we talk about all things random. And if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell all your friends about us. So for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.